You got to take a listen to this. It's Squawk Pod.
That's right. CNBC's flagship business news show is a podcast, Squawk Pod.
This is CNBC Control 2.
It is not just the show, folks.
It might be even better because it's only audio.
Join me, Katie Kramer, as I take you inside the Squawk Box control room and beyond the headlines of our TV broadcast with Joe Kernan, Becky Quick, and Andrew Ross Sorkin every weekday.
Roll alpha.
Listen to CNBC's Squawk Pod free on the Odyssey app.
Yes, it's that time again, our favorite time of the week. Two-time Super Bowl champion Chris Hoke in the house, brought to you by McVeigh Heating and Plumbing. Hokie, it's wonderful to see you. I was asking, what would it have been like you against City Limits at the line of scrimmage? He weighs a 140. You would have had, what, at least 210 pounds on him, right?
Oh, it would be.
Or 110, I should say.
It would be his biggest nightmare.
Be a disaster.
There's no question about it.
Could he have
I ain't as good as I once was, but I'm good once as I ever was, Limits.
Thanks, Toby Keith. R.I.P.
What would have been your strategy, Limits? Try to make a quick move, perhaps a swim move?
I would try to win with my quickness, but Hokie could probably just throw me down like a rag doll, and it wouldn't matter.
Hokie, how is somebody a 140, and he's not like 5'2"?
He doesn't look a 140, though.
What are you, 5'10"?
He must be
5'10",
really
about 145.
5'10", 145. Yeah, that's almost miraculous.
You need to eat, brother.
I have a very quick metabolism.
Yeah.
So, like, even if I try to put on weight, it's already gone.
I wish I had his problem, man. I'd love
that. So
I mean, do I. Dude, I look at ice cream and cookies, and I love ice cream. I love
so
ice cream.
I
look
I.
at it, and I gain weight.
Oh,
you know what I'm saying?
You just mentioned some dessert during the break.
Yeah, man. BJ's got this. And also, a couple places around town have these things called Pazookies. So that's that kind of a name. They cook. They take cookie dough and they put it on a circular kind of cookie sheet. And they heat it up.
You had me at cookie dough.
Right? And then they heat it up and they bring it out warm with a big old scoop of vanilla ice cream on top. It's absolutely delicious.
Let's leave right now and go get those.
I love it. I want to eat it right now.
It's good.
Limits, do you like cookie dough?
I love cookie dough.
Just raw cookie dough?
That's good.
Yeah.
Cookies, chocolate, cookie dough, that's all up my alley.
My wife doesn't like it because she leaves, you know, cookie dough in the fridge. And yeah, who doesn't like cookie dough?
The dough is better than the cookie.
Yeah, she goes to make cookies and there's no cookie dough left.
And that reminds me of Ron. Do you miss Cookie?
I miss Cookie.
He's down in Fort Myers right now.
Yeah, what do you think he's doing right now?
Just cracked his eighth beer.
It's not even, it's 11 o'clock.
All right, that's Hokie. Cookie. We have a story on our hands here, and it's not
there's
a small
a lot of
one.
Stories.
Russell Wilson,
yeah.
As Dan Moore told the world, is getting the first team reps. Tomlin pretty much told the world the other day. He's starting against Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. Is this the right move?
I think that that's up for debate. I think that in his mind, I would say that thinks it's the right move, but I bet you deep down he's still unsure, right? You got a quarterback right now who right has left a lot to be desired at times out there on the field, but he's 4-2, and he's got 5 touchdowns running the football and 5 touchdowns throwing the football, and he's kind of I've said this many, many times. I believe he's the kind of quarterback that Coach Tomlin's always wanted here with Pittsburgh, a guy that can move the chains with his legs as well as his arm and is able to ad-lib his word and make things happen with his legs. And right now he's got a situation where he's got a guy that's better and is a professional passer, And so it's intriguing, but I think right now let's just hope it goes right. Let's hope it all works out.
What would you have done?
I think I would have, that's why I'm not paid the big bucks like Coach Tomlin is, but it's hard
we're
to walk.
We're paying you 8 figures around here.
Another thing, I think that let's just take a step back for a minute and say, I think that Justin Fields made this decision a little bit easy for him after Sunday. Right? Even though he's 4-2, Justin Fields made some great plays with his legs. I mean, he ran for 59 yards, right? I mean, that's on 11 carries. But there were some throws that were errant throws. I mean, he airmailed a lot of balls. And you and I talked about this before we went on air. I mean, there were a bunch of throws that there was a time in the second quarter where they were driving the ball and they were on the plus 31. They were on the Raiders 31-yard line. And he had first down. He had George Pickens wide open to the left, airmailed him for first down. That was for a first down. Then he had Pat Freiermuth wide open for first down, airmailed him. Third down, he had George Pickens again wide open for a first down. 3 consecutive throws airmailed, killed the drive, it stalled, then kick a field goal, right? It was 7-3 at the time. Then he had a time where they blocked the punt. And they blocked the punt Jeremiah Moon did, and all of a sudden he puts them in a tough situation. They had to settle for a field goal because he threw the ball behind up high for Jalen Warren, right? And they lost yardage. Then that's where he crossed the line of scrimmage, and he threw the touchdown pass to Freiermuth. Have a little bit of awareness. I mean, he wasn't even a little bit past the line of scrimmage. He was a whole yard beyond the line of scrimmage when he threw that touchdown pass to Freiermuth. A little awareness there, a little lack of loss of focus, right? And then you look back, and there's a lot of things. You know, that touchdown that they threw in the second quarter, but after T.J. Watt's first caused fumble, I mean, he threw an interception. He got bailed out. It's like a point guard, Starkey, dribbling into a trap and a ref calling a foul on the defender, on the two trappers. When they you don't do that. You don't call a foul when a guy dribbles into a trap. He threw an interception. They bailed him out.
Right.
Right. And that's just the reality. And they went down and scored a touchdown, and he almost threw an interception on a two-point conversion. So I think there's a lot of other things. He overthrew a couple guys. One time he overthrew Calvin Austin. That was a sure first down. So I think he made this decision much easier for Mike Tomlin.
Yeah, I do agree with that. Fan Twitter brought to you by South Hills Kia Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net. The fan hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing HVAC provider for over 50 years. And the text line brought to you by Edgar Snyder and Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. So my feeling, and I think there's arguments for both sides on this one. Usually I like to come down hard on one side or the other, but that's not the case here because of what you said. Fields needed to not give Tomlin an option, and he gave him options. Tomlin took it. I felt like Fields should still have started this game for one reason above all. And that is because I thought some of his best plays last week were simply avoiding sacks on Raider jailbreaks. And I'm worried about Wilson behind this offensive line in its current state.
There's no question about it. I mean, listen, in his heyday, Russ Wilson was a scrambler. He could run. He's not as big and strong. He's not a running back with the ball in his hands, but he was able to move the chains with his legs. And you're right now. Justin Fields has the ability to do that. And the offensive line is a little leaky. Right. But I think if you go back to even Bill Belichick said this when he was on a podcast, I think in the last couple of days, he said he was kind of scratching his head with this change also that Mike Tomlin made. And Bill Belichick said, listen, he goes, if you're going to make this kind of change, going from a guy who's 4-2, like a Russ Wilson to a Justin Fields to a Russ Wilson, you better be sure it's an upgrade. And Bill Belichick said, I'm not so sure it's an upgrade, but Mike Tomlin must believe it's an upgrade. That's why he did it.
Yeah.
Here's another thing too, to look at. Mike Tomlin never changed the depth chart. He never inverted that. He never went Justin Fields to 1, Russ Wilson 2. He always kept Russ Wilson at 1. He never went Russ Wilson 1A, Justin Fields 1B. It was always Russ Wilson 1, Justin Fields 2. We all thought because he was winning that he may change, but the reality is he never changed his mind. He always had Russ Wilson in that pole position spot, like he said, since the day that Russ Wilson came here.
So Ben on his podcast. Now listen, when were you drafted?
I was drafted.
You were undrafted, right?
Yeah, 2001 I came.
You were signed.
I was here. I was in my fourth year when Ben came.
Okay. So you actually have been part of a quarterback controversy when it was
Tommy much of a controversy.
And Cordell? No?
No, I don't remember that. I was young, but there was a little bit, but I think that Tommy just was able to throw the ball better. Right? Cordell was a decent thrower, kind of like this.
But Cordell was an MVP candidate who then got replaced. But my question, just to bring it to the point here, can this divide a locker room?
I don't think it'll divide a locker room unless Russ Wilson comes in and he doesn't play well. Mm. I think right now, listen, by all accounts, when Russ Wilson was in the huddle yesterday and running the offense, it was very crisp. It was very sharp. You saw Freiermuth's comments out in the media saying that it was good to see Russ Wilson in the huddle, have him in the huddle. I think that guys are excited to see what Russ Wilson can do. I think you can't throw 145 yards in a game and think you're going to beat a Baltimore Ravens team. You have to play twice, come up. You're going to beat a Chiefs team. You're going to beat a lot of other teams that got coming up. I'm looking at the schedule
Eagles, Cincy twice.
Eagles, you got Cincy twice.
At Washington, which is now a different-looking game.
Different-looking game with Jalen Daniels. And so when you look at all these games coming up, you can't think you can play a game, kind of game that you played against the Colts, that you played against Raiders, and think that you're going to beat teams like that.
October is Fire Prevention Month. 93.7 The Fan and the National Fire Sprinkler Association remind you to test your smoke alarms monthly. Pet Fest 24, presented by Subaru, is back. Still waiting to hear if City Limits will bring his dog Muffin.
Muffin. What name?
Yes, Muffin.
It's a tough name.
What do you mean? A tough name? What does that mean?
Muffin.
I'm like, good.
Wait a second. We got to stop Muffin. Right there. It doesn't sound like Hokie's big on the name Muffin.
No, this is the first person I've ever met that is not liking the name Muffin.
You only must meet women because women love the name Muffin because that's kind of like an endearing name. Hey, Muffin.
Well, if it was Cookie or Donut, would you approve? It's a girl dog.
I don't know. I like normal names.
Yeah.
I like real names.
Molly?
Muffin's
better. Muffin.
Yeah. My dad's first dog was named Muffin. So this is Muffin Jr., Muffin the second.
Yeah, Muffin the second. Okay. Well, hopefully Muffin will meet Bailey, my dog, at this thing. Like I said, there could be potential there for a long, perhaps even for a marriage. Even though Muffin is an older woman. Yes, she's 13.
She's not. Do not call Muffin elderly. Do not call her an older woman.
She's been insulted twice now.
You keep
on the
insulting
show.
Muffin.
I didn't insult her.
Muffin is listening. She's going to turn off the radio.
The event runs from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. That's October 27th at Rockwell Park in the East End. Bring your four-legged friends to meet vendors, participate in costume contests, get photos with Santa, stop by any Subaru dealer for complimentary tickets. For more info, go to 937thefan.com. So Ben said on his podcast, he says stick with Fields, but he also said this could really hurt Fields' confidence. And that's what I want to ask you, Hokie, is if you're Fields, do you look at this like I've been benched? And does it hurt your confidence moving forward?
I don't think so, because I really believe now, as I think about it more and more and I think about the depth chart situation, I think they all knew this is how it was going to play out. I still think it as
even Fields?
Yeah, I think he did. I mean, listen, Mike was pretty clear. I mean, when you don't change the depth chart, that's pretty telling when a lot of other positions are changing with depth charts, but that stays the same. That's pretty telling. I just think that Justin Fields, Russ Wilson knew at some point this was going to happen. And Mike was just, Justin could have made it much more difficult decision, but I don't think that he's going to go into a tank. He's going to be needed. Listen, this is a long season. We still have 11 games left, right? Yeah. Plus playoffs. And yeah. So a lot of things can happen. It is a very physical game. You have a leaky offensive line. You're hoping that Russ doesn't take hits, but look at Aaron Rodgers. I mean, he's got a leaky offensive line, and he's getting nailed. Right? He's getting nailed, getting hit over 10 times a game.
So you don't look at this like Limits does and others. Pony mentioned this yesterday, that this is a sure signal that the Steelers do not believe in Justin Fields as a future franchise guy?
I don't believe that. I think the plan the whole time, once they traded Kenny Pickett and they brought in Justin Fields, I think the plan the whole time was for Russ Wilson to start and Justin Fields to take a year and learn behind Russ Wilson. There's still a lot he can learn. He is extremely talented. Listen, you put him in like an Olympic Games for quarterbacks, he wins it every time. The way he can throw the ball, the way he can run, all those things. It's incredible. It's incrankulent, right? But the reality is this. I believe that he still has a lot to learn, right? And if he can sit behind Russ Wilson, Russ Wilson's a pro. I've watched this guy in training camp. I watched him in practice. And even yesterday, the way he handles his business, right? The guy's a pro. The way he comes to the line of scrimmage and the way that he barks out the cadence and the way that he works through it and the way that he is a leader. And I think there are some things that Justin Fields can learn from him just to sit back and take a deep breath and say, hey, I can be a much better quarterback and have a longer successful career if I just take this time to be humble and learn from Russ Wilson.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Here's one thing that definitely stands out to me is listening to people talk about Russell Wilson, and I'm a fan.
Yeah.
You'd think he was Joe Namath barely walking with the Rams at 40 years old. This dude rushed for 341 yards last year, 4.3 every time he left the pocket, and three touchdowns. He had a 25-yard run he can still move around.
He can still move around. He's not just
like Fields, but he can still move around.
Like, he's not going to take the ball and bend around out of the pocket and go run for and beat an outside linebacker to the corner. He's not going to do that anymore. But if the pocket opens up in the middle of the offensive line opens up, he can step up and go for 10 yards. But he can't run like Justin Fields anymore.
No, but he can move around behind the line of scrimmage and make plays.
He can still do play action. He can still do rollouts, all those things.
Seventh most rushing yards for a quarterback in the league last season.
What I'm telling you is he can still do that, but it's not the same effect. I mean, I don't think he's going to have 5 rushing touchdowns over the next 6 games.
No doubt. And that's why I thought.
Or move the chains at the rate that Justin Fields does up to this point. But he will. But Van Jefferson, Calvin Austin, Pat Freiermuth will have more catches over the next 6 games than they have over the last 6 games.
And the other thing with Fields is that he's on pace for 17 fumbles. Russell Wilson, you have to go back and add up all of his last 6 years or 5 years to get to 17 fumbles. That's a lot of fumbles.
That's a lot of fumbles, and it puts your team in a tough situation. Luckily, he has, if not the best, one of the best defenses in the land. I know they're number 2, but I'll tell you what, they play the way they turn the ball over and take it away from offenses. They're like an elite defense that he's really benefited, and this offense has really benefited from as well.
All right, next topic would be, let me go one more there. How do you think Russell fares this week? I did notice Belichick, the same interview you obviously saw, where he said a guy who really didn't take any reps in the preseason, hardly any, a few in a preseason game or two, hasn't taken many with the first team all year. Belichick made it sound like this is going to be a monumental challenge for Russell Wilson to go in there cold and succeed against the Jets, who are third in the league in sacks.
Yeah, well, listen, the reality is I don't think it'll be as challenging as Bill. I mean, monumental is a big word, right? That's huge, right? I think that was my word, not his. But I think that he'll come in and it'll take a couple of series to shake off the rust. I think everybody's anticipating that. But I watched him throw the ball around yesterday, and he was on point, man. He threw the ball just – it was accurate. It was timing. It was crisp. I mean, just the way he carried himself. Let me say this. He exudes with confidence. And he throws that ball, and it's just like the way he sees things. There's quarterbacks that throw the ball to a receiver who's open, and then there's quarterbacks who throw the ball to a receiver and makes them open.
I can't wait to watch him.
I think he's the latter. I think it'll take him a little while to warm. It might take him a quarter to warm up, but I think that you'll see him. Now, listen, there's going to be things that we're used to seeing over the first month and a half of the season that we're not going to see. We're not going to see him, you know, do some of the running and those things that Justin Fields does, even though he can still run the ball, but not at that degree.
Right.
But I still think you'll see him throwing the ball around, and you'll have more than 145 yards passing, and you may see the scoring go up.
And he keeps plays alive. The other thing that I feel like people think of Russ is that he's Kirk Cousins. Like, he just stands there like a statue in the pocket.
Or Peyton Manning late in his career.
Or Peyton sacking himself to avoid sack. One of the games that stood out last year was the Buffalo game, where Russell Wilson out-dueled Josh Allen in the fourth quarter. They went drive for drive for drive. Russ won it on a late field goal drive, and that wasn't Sean Payton. That wasn't system quarterbacking. That was Russell behind the line, ad-libbing, making crazy, like, shovel passes at the last second. He can still do that.
He can still do that. Listen, and what happens is this, is as you get older, you may slow down a step in terms of your running, in terms of your mobility, but you have so much experience. You have so much in-helmet perspective that when you go on the field, you still play at that high level. And you're still able to put the ball in places that other quarterbacks can't because you understand defenses and what they're trying to do. And if a guy does this, then the other guy is going to do that. And I did an interview on Tuesday. I did a Q&A at Acrisure Stadium with Landon Roberts, and we were talking about that fumble that he caused late in the game against the Cowboys on that last drive, right? And it was a wonderful play. He was talking about the mental progression leading up to that play and what he saw and what he was thinking. He was talking about how when he's like a Brian Flores protege, right? He was in New England with Brian Flores, and then Brian Flores was in Miami, brought him to Miami, and then Brian Flores was here and brought him here. I mean, he learned, he looks up to him like a mentor, big time mentor, right? And he was talking about how when in that play, he saw the formation, he saw the final formation, the final lineup. And he said, remember something that Brian Flores told him that would happen in the situation. And that's why he was able to just attack it and cause that fumble. And I pointed out to the people that we were talking to, that's why as players get older, they're able to still play at a high level, even though they lost a step, because now they have so much experience. They have so much in a database in their head that they can say, well, I saw that before. I was told that before, and this is what happened when I was in Miami or when I was in New England, and so I know where the ball's going. And not like guessing. You're just attacking downhill, and that's what happened. It's the same thing with Russ Wilson. He's going to see the same thing. Hey, when they do this, when the guy comes underneath, the ball's going to go here, or when they open up and then they fake and they're sugaring from one side and they drop the – he's going to see all those things, and they're going to compete at such a higher speed than Justin Fields does, that he's going to be able to make plays. Even though he doesn't have the legs Justin Fields does, he'll be able to make plays that Justin Fields won't.
Two-time Super Bowl champion, the Hokinator, Dr. Hokenstein, the Hokini and Mongoose. He's sitting right across, right across from me. Here's what I compare it to, Hokie. Picture city limits, our 145-pound friend in there on a game show. You ever see Deal or No Deal?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
So that's what Mike Tomlin and the Steelers are playing right now, honestly, in my estimation. City limits, we're going to give him $100,000. He can be happy and walk away with that. That's Justin Fields right now.
Yeah.
You're 4-2. You'll probably go 9-8, get in the playoffs again. Or do you want to use your lifeline and go for $1 million? Which one are you going to go for? And to me, Mike Tomlin, we really don't have an idea of what Russell Wilson's going to be, but he's trying to walk away with $1 million here. He's playing a game show, and he's trying to get the big prize. Can we be better on offense? Just winning's not enough for Tomlin anymore. He told the world that last year when they fired Canada. They were 6-4. He said, I want to engineer victory more fluidly, and points do that. Just winning doesn't cut it, and he knows it.
He knows it. But listen, also, after these next 2 weeks, if Russ Wilson isn't playing at the level, he can always go back to Justin Fields.
Yeah.
And here's my thing about Mike. Mike knows how to manage people. He's about relationships. And so he knows that he can manage this relationship with Justin Fields as good as anybody. I mean, think about it. Very few people has he lost in terms of in the middle of their career when things are going on. I mean, we're not going to talk about guys that are retiring. But we're talking about guys in the middle of their career. Mike Tomlin knows how to manage people. He knows how to keep him up. He knows how to keep him focused. And so he does this knowing that he's going to be able to keep Fields mentally strong and in the place where he needs to be, or he wouldn't do it. I really think that Mike is very confident in that point.
As a quick aside here, Hokie, and as a longtime observer of Steelers football, I think the Landon Roberts play, because they lost, sort of gets lost to history. I think it was one of the greatest individual plays in Steelers history.
Huge.
It was Kendrell Bell combined with Troy.
Yeah.
Leaping over the line and delivering.
It was incredible. It was an incredible play. You know, he made a big time play in this game, too, down on the goal line. We busted. I mean, he was sitting there. He was to the offensive right side, lined up 4 yards off the ball, and he read it, and he exploded into the gap and hit the running back. I think, was it Madison or Abdullah? And he nailed him for a 1 yard loss. I mean, this guy's got a bowling ball for a head. I mean, he just loves it. Did you see that hit he put? Did you see that hit he put on Turner?
Yes.
I hope he doesn't get something from New York today, you know, for that hit. But what? I mean, he laid it on him late there in the third quarter, and he's just a guy that just puts that hard hat on people. I love his mentality. I love his physicality. He's a Steeler type defender.
What are the odds that you're going to land that kind of hit? Though I'm talking about the one on the goal line against Dallas. Yeah. That when you leap like that. It was just the perfect storm. Like, that's lottery odds, isn't it?
Well, I mean, you're talking about, but it was a calculated risk that he took. He knew, I mean, he was decisive. Right when the ball was snapped, he took off right to that point, because he said he knew from past experience and when things have been coached that the ball was going to go there. He knew because of the way they were lined up and the way that things evolved to that point, that that's where the ball was going to go. And that's why it was decisive and flew downhill and lit him up and just launched in the air.
Do you have a personal memory of Kendrell Bell wrecking Jerome at the goal line in training camp?
I was there.
Tell me about it.
No, it was incredible. I mean, listen, Jerome prides himself on not getting knocked back. I mean, he's just a big body guy, right? And he's always falling forward.
Kendrell's a rookie.
And I was a rookie. I came in as a rookie with Kendrell. So I wasn't in the period. It was one-on-ones. See, when Bill Cowher was the head coach, what we would do is Saturday, we wouldn't have two practices. We'd have an 11 o'clock practice, and we would make it very physical. It would be almost like scrimmage-like. It would be goal line. It would be short yardage. It would be down to the ground tackling. And then we'd get that night off, and we'd come back for Sunday. But we line up on the goal line. I'm back there sitting against the goalpost watching because I'm a young guy, rookie. I'm not in there at this time. And Jerome brings the ball. I believe it was off defensive right, offensive left. And Kendrell Blow came downhill, and he just put the smack on him. And Jerome didn't go. Jerome stayed where he was at best. And they got up, and everybody was chirping, everybody was screaming, and yelling. Man, Kendrell Bell just put that Rydell right on him. It was a beautiful play, and I was sitting there just going, "Do I really want to be here? This is the kind of game I want to play. I mean, this is big boy football right here. I mean, this is big time." But that was a smack. It was a shot heard around the world. It was a hit heard around the world.
I wrote about Kendrell a few years ago. I interviewed you and Deshae Townsend and Larry Foote and Tim Lewis, your defensive coordinator. He told me, he said, Cower was telling me, because I was telling him, this guy Kendrell Bell, something. He's like, "Timmy, we're not just going to give this guy a job. He's got to prove it." And he said, as soon as that hit happened, Cower went up to Tim Lewis and said, "Did you see that?
Yeah.
He's the starter.
He's the starter." And he's had a lot to learn, right? I mean, he wanted to blitz on every play.
Yeah.
I mean, we ran a lot of line stunts and blitz plays to get him up. I mean, how many linemen he blew up? I mean, guards would step up to block him. Centers would step up to block him. It has to be a record of how many of those linemen he put on their tushes. I mean, he would light these guys up and put them right on their rear ends. So many play after play after play. He didn't want to drop in coverage, though. I mean, there were times when he was supposed to go in coverage, and he still blitzed.
Lewis said he didn't want to do anything. So at one point, Tim told me, he said, "See the ball? Just go kill that guy. That's all we do here for you."
A lot of great stories about that time, but I'll tell you this. Kendrell did not want to go on coverage. He wanted to blitz every time.
I think it was Foote who said he's the most violent football player I've ever seen.
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, just the kind of hit. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, Larry Foote was a guy that was, he didn't hit like that, but Larry Foote was a guy who was always in the right place at the right time, a heady guy, just a sure-handed kind of player that you always knew he was going to make the plays that he needed to make. He couldn't hit like that. Nobody could. James Ferrer couldn't hit like that. Nobody could.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.